out of your bulletin. There's a question here I'm going to begin the sermon with. It's the first question in your outline. It says this: when I see in Scripture that God is my judge, I think or I feel, and you finish the sentence. When I see that God is my judge in Scripture, I think or I feel what? You write that down. You think about it. My purpose today is to give some clarity to this question, because I'm finding that in my own history and in a lot of Christians today, that when they hear the word judge, where do they go? Fear. They go into fear. The word judge means uh-oh. Okay? Let's put some clarity to that today. The point of the message today is that confidence in your salvation leads to boldness in your obedience. Confidence in your salvation leads to boldness in your obedience. Okay, say that with me. Confidence in your salvation leads to boldness in your obedience. So is it possible that if you have a timidity in your obedience, a fearfulness in obedience, that perhaps you're not set completely in your confidence in your salvation? That's a possibility. I hope today to bring some clarity to that as well. So let's begin. This is a garbage can. And this garbage can today represents the garbage in your life. Yes, yes. And your sin. Let's just take all of your sin and all your history up to 10 minutes ago. It's in there. Okay, so this represents your sin. We'll do some more drawing today. Stick people is the best it gets with me. So here, what's that? Yeah. Oh no, it's just permanent. Here's you. So this is you. Here's God, your Father. He has a crown. He's happy. Here's God, so. All right. And then here is junk. This is your sin. And there's a pile of it. There's quite a bit there, isn't there, for all of us. There's quite a bit. And most like sin, it kind of stinks. And so we have our sin. It's a pile. Who sees the sin? You and I, we look. Here's God over here. We're going, God. Okay? I'm speaking from a person who has already accepted Christ. This person's a Christian. This is you. You're in Christ. Paul says that in the book of Ephesians a number of times. In Christ. It's an important phrase because in Christ means that you are complete in your salvation. Except for when Christ returns and finishes our salvation and takes us back home with Him. Your salvation is complete. But we look at this pile of sin and we see it. And we see it, and we see it, and we smell it, and we remember it. Have you ever been driving down the road or walking somewhere along the way, and something of your history that's embarrassing or shameful to you comes to memory, and you feel it? Oh, man, just the other day, I catch myself now. I used to live in the shame. I would have a memory, and I would just, oh, I could feel it, and I for hours, maybe days or weeks. And now I know to say, stop. Delbert, stop. That is finished. Why is it finished? Jesus died, was buried, and more importantly, rose again to prove death is not master over him. Death is Satan's ace in the hole. Death is Satan's, I gotcha. I know where your fear point is. I know how to make you try to save yourself. How? Make you afraid. And when we go into fear, we stop obedience. Why? Because confidence in our salvation starts to get weak. And when our confidence in our salvation gets weak, our boldness in our obedience does too. They are joined together, these two pieces. Confidence in salvation, boldness in obedience. They're directly tied together. When I get afraid, because I look at my sin, I get afraid, and I start to wonder, God is my judge. That can't be good. And we get fearful. And when we get fearful is when we go into self-preservation. You cannot save yourself. Jesus said, didn't he say, if you save yourself, I just lost the verse. How does it say that?
He who loses life gains his life.
There you go. He who saves.
9:24.
Where is it?
9:24.
Luke 9:24. If you save your life, you will surely lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, or Jesus' purpose, he says, you will find it. Well, when we go into fear, we're saving our life. We're saving ourselves from fear, from a conflict. I mean, perhaps I read Scripture and say, if someone has something against you, Matthew 5:24, you're there at the gift, at the altar, and you remember somebody has something against you, and Jesus says, leave your gift there. Go first and make it right with this person as much as it is able on your part to do your part. It doesn't mean the other person's going to respond to you, but you've done your part. You go, and as far as you are able, you go and make an effort to reconcile with that person if they have something against you. And then come back and offer your gift to me, Jesus said. What is this verse telling us about the importance Jesus places on person-to-person, human-to-human relationships? How much importance does he put on there? On a scale of 1 to 10, it's high, it's 10 or more. Jesus puts a lot of importance on human-to-human relationships, and even more so, Christian-to-Christian relationships. Why does he do that? Well, that's a whole nother sermon, but we can say this, that the relationship you and I have with one another describes the care I take in having a relationship with God. 1 John 4:20, if you say you love me but hate your brother, you cannot, not just won't, you cannot love me, God says. Really? Why? Because I can only love God at the level I will love you. And if I say, on you, I'm going, on God too. Because our relationships with each other are so important to God that he says, you leave your gift here and first go be reconciled to your brother or your sister. Another reason God puts that on there, that value, is that unity of the body is one significant way the world sees that we're different than anyone else. Would you say the United States is in unity right now? What are you seeing that says it's not? Fighting, name-calling, this group against that group. What's the bad news today? You know, we take out and we look in. We look in our phone and we say, what's the bad news today? I loved Paul Harvey because he gave us good news. People who'd been married for 65, 70, 75 years. People who'd done good things. I loved that. I don't know why news medias don't give us more of that. When we go into fear, we go into self-preservation. Self-preservation means I am not in obedience to God in some place in my life. Where does all that start? Right here with our sin. We start looking at our sin and it gets in our way. This picture is not an accurate picture of your relationship with God. What is wrong with this picture?
Separation.
I'm over here on this side of my pile of sin. God's over there on the other side of the pile of my sin. And I see sin. God sees the cross, the covering over my sin. There's a theological word called propitiation. Propitiation is a word that means God has covered my sin so that the only thing he sees when he looks at my pile of sin is the blood of Jesus. It's covered. Now, I can look at that and say, but it's still there. God has a solution for that. We're going to go right back to God, the judge. Oh, goody. We're going to go to God, the judge. So in your outline, your relationship with God changes in two significant ways when you accept Christ as your Savior. Number one. As your judge, God declares a legal change between you and him. He declares a legal change between you and him. So we're talking about a legal change. What is the legal change? We can describe this legal change in two words. I want you to write these words down. Not guilty. When God, your judge, says and declares you not guilty, what are you? Amen. You are not guilty. You would say what?
Innocent.
Innocent, yeah. Okay. We talk about innocence. I like the word. God sees me as if I had not sinned. Excuse me. God treats me as if my sins have been forgiven because they have been forgiven. Amen. So now you have a new tool, a new truth in your Christian toolbox that you keep right here in your heart that looks like this. You see your sin. In fact, you might kind of go like this. And you go and you peek. Why do we do that? Why do we go peek? Go look again. Maybe I did something stupid, and I just need to remind myself how stupid I am. You? How bad I am. How I haven't learned my lesson yet. I got to go back here and remember why I do it wrong. No. No, no, no. When you are remembering your sin, I want you to say what your judge says to you. What are the two words? Not guilty. Oh, Delbert, you're such an idiot. Wait a minute. Not guilty. My judge said that of me. When the judge who has no, when there's no other judge higher than him, when he says you're not guilty, you are not guilty. But judge, don't you see? And the answer is no, because why? It's been covered. Propitiation. A covering over which God declares you not guilty. Now that doesn't change, because after you become a Christian, you sin again. The covering is still there. Covering's still there. So that's the first change. That's the first change. Let me read a scripture or two. They're in your bulletin outline, your sermon outline. Romans 8, 1 and 2, that talk about this legal change. Oops, I mean Acts. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, there is now, good word, I love that word, now, this minute, this moment that I'm remembering my sin, that moment, now, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death. Let me just kind of throw that out there for a minute. When you make a law for yourself, maybe it's not even a law in here, in Scripture itself. You make a law for yourself, I should never disappoint people. I should never make waves. Don't rock the boat. Whatever that is, that law is, what do you do to yourself when you break your own law? What word can we use to describe what you do to yourself? Guilt. I go right back to, I'm guilty. We cover up this word. We say, no, I'm not guilty. I am guilty. Not true. Your sin is covered. Now, as a Christian, you take out the Christian's bar of soap. God has helped you take care of your sin in the present when you do that. 1 John 1:9. It's the Christian's bar of soap. Write that down on your outline. 1 John 1:9, and says this: if we confess our sins, okay, confess in the Greek means to agree with. I agree with you, God, that I have sinned against you. I went into fear, I went into self-preservation, and there's all kinds of sins we do out of self-preservation, isn't there? All kinds of disobedience. So if we confess our sins, or if we go into agreement with you, God, yes, I did sin. I sinned against you. I sinned against myself. I sinned against others. Most of our sin touches three people: God, others, self. If we confess our sins, he is faithful. You see, your sin doesn't change who he is. Isn't that wonderful? Everybody say that's wonderful. Doesn't change who he is. It doesn't change his plan. It doesn't change how he's going to respond to someone who sins. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. Just is a word about a judge. And he says, covered. Sin is covered. He is faithful and just and will forgive our sin. How much of the sin is he forgiving, percent-wise? 100%. How much do you believe it in percent? Sometimes it's not 100. Sometimes it's 80. Which means, God, thank you for giving me 80%. Now I've got to do something to make up the last 20. Right? It's where we go. Everybody shake your head. Yes, we do that. He will forgive our sins and purify us. Purify. Let's go to percent again. If you're purified, how dirty are you? What percent? 0%. How clean are you? 100%. Okay, now let's finish the verse. Purify us from all unrighteousness. You know what I do with this verse now? I used to do the front half. Confess my sin. Oh, God, forgive me because I did whatever I did. I'm agreeing with you that I chose to do that even though I knew your word said. I'm being very detailed about my sin with God. I'm not just saying, oh, God, I sinned. I don't need to name it. Yes, you do. You need to name your sin and be very honest. Why? Because when we don't name it, we're skirting around it. Why? When we skirt around my sin, I can go back and do it again. I'm not cleaning the slate. I'm leaving a little corner of it. I'm leaving a little corner of it right there. Now, in case I need that, right? In case I get scared about something and want to isolate or gossip or whatever, I've reserved a little bit here for just for that purpose. You know what I'm talking about is true, right? But I didn't do the second half of the verse. And that is to agree with God that also I am clean, purified from all unrighteousness. The next time you sin, you take out this bar of soap and you start washing. Wash out the and you take that bar of soap and you say, God, I agree with you that I have sinned. I've sinned against you. Here's the specifics about it. You know, when a kid breaks a window through a baseball or something, breaks a window, and you said, what did you do? Well, you know what I did, Dad. I don't have to tell you. Yes, you do. What'd you do? I broke the window. Well, that's a result of what you did. Why did you break the window? Because I played where you told me not to play. Now we're getting to the core of it. I decided to play where you told me not to play. That's our sin. But now I agree with you that sin's taken care of, that here it is, I've laid it all out, I'm being totally honest with you. God loves that when you're honest with him. And now I get to say this, Father, thank you that I am now clean and purified from all unrighteousness. I agree with you about that too. We must claim that as well. Don't be a one-half verse type of Christian. Take the second half too. And claim it as well. Amen? Is this good stuff? Is this life? Living truth. Everybody go hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, help me preach this. I need your help. Come on, give me a little emphasis there. All right. So God, your judge, declares you not guilty, and you are not guilty. Go into agreement with him about that. There's a second change that happens, and the second change is a relational change. There's a relational change. And the relational change is this. You have been adopted into the family of God. You are now a son or a daughter of your father. Just as the judge declares you not guilty, now your father declares you adopted. Everybody smile. You are now adopted. Can you unadopt somebody? I don't think so. I've heard of countries where you can adopt and then unadopt, but I don't know. When you choose to adopt as a parent, we have some parents who've adopted here. They could tell us about that story of what it means to adopt a child. I am choosing to be that child's parent, good or bad. It's like a vow in marriage. Come goodness or badness, come sickness or health, come money or no money, I'm going to be this child's parent for the rest of my life. Wow. Do you feel the commitment there? Do you see it? That's what God is saying. God, your father, is now saying to you. God, your judge, says not guilty. Now God, your father, says adopted. Come here. You're mine. I've got you. No longer alone. See, kids who aren't adopted, where do they belong? Where do they belong? You and I can't speak for everybody, but for a lot of us, we have felt alone in this world. Where do I belong? I was talking with one of the guys here this morning about when our own physical families sometimes don't work well. I have another family here who loves me and keeps me and helps me grow. And oh my goodness, what a pleasure it is to have this family. In fact, for some of us, all our other family is already dead and gone. I have no biological family with me on this earth anymore. And you are my family. See, that's, oh, adopted. I belong. You belong. You are a part, important part of the family. And you are no less a part of the family of God than Jesus Christ as the Son of God. You want to argue about that? Anybody want to argue? No, I'm not as important to God is Jesus. Oh yeah? Let's take a look at Scripture. Romans chapter 8, verses 15 through 17. Romans chapter 8, verses 15 through 17. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear. Paul is making a comparison here. The spirit of fear, if you're in the world without Jesus, or the Holy Spirit. But you received, he says, the spirit of sonship or childship. You now belong. You have received this spirit of sonship. Notice in my Bible, is the word spirit in yours capitalized? Yes, referring to God. God the Spirit is now saying you are adopted. You are now a son or a daughter. And by him, the Holy Spirit, we cry, Abba, Father. Verse 16. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. We are God's children. And, now, if we are God's children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs of Christ. Brothers and sisters, I want you to see this. You are a co-heir. There's an inheritance waiting for you. There's an inheritance waiting for you. It's all yours. And the Holy Spirit is your guarantee that that inheritance is waiting for you. The Holy Spirit living in you. And you are a co-heir with Christ. That means, in a very real sense, Jesus and me are brothers. We belong to the family. Now, I'm not bringing Jesus down out of godhood and saying he's just like, no, he's still God. I revere him that way. I want you to as well. But when Scripture says you are a co-heir, you have an equality with Jesus in this area of inheritance. He is your brother. You belong to the same family. You have the same father. What's changed is your relationship. You're now adopted. You belong to the family of God. I could go on and on about this, but I'm going to wrap this up. What we're talking about here is the difference between justification, that word, and sanctification. Justification means this. I've come into Christ, the process of initially coming into Jesus Christ. I'm covered by the blood. My sin is no longer visible to my God. He declares me not guilty, and I'm adopted into the family of God. That's justification. All that happens in that moment. Everybody click your fingers. In that moment. Now, sanctification is you and I learning how to mature or grow up into this new adoption that we have. I don't have to go away when I sin. Fear will try to make you go there. Satan will try to make you go there. I have to go away. I have to go, you know, and do and somehow make it up to God. No, you don't. You use the Christian's bar of soap. Your sin's still covered. And you have confidence in your salvation. Why? Two reasons. One, you have been declared by the judge of all judges not guilty. And you have been adopted into his family. He's your papa. And he's the best papa in the world. Okay? So last Sunday we talked about how does God treat you as a Christian when you sin? The answer is God uses discipline. To do two things. Jesus came with grace and truth, full of grace and truth, John 1:14. Jesus came full of grace and truth. Grace says, I'm keeping you. Truth says, I'm teaching you a better way. So in the sense of God is keeping me, he's teaching me, that's the discipline part, he's teaching me a better way. You see, brothers and sisters, here's what I want you to know. Keep your heart moldable. Keep it soft. Keep it sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Keep it sensitive to God, Jesus. Keep it sensitive to the Word of God. So that when you sin, you're also sensitive to what you need to do. You take out 1 John 1:9, and you agree, I'm a sinner, but you also agree, I've been purified from all unrighteousness. I'm clean. Everybody say, I'm clean. I'm clean. This is where I want you to live. Live in the truth and not in moderation. Amen, Mark. That was his point. And not in moderation. Confidence in your salvation leads to boldness in your obedience. That's the message today. God bless you. May you live in truth. May you live in truth. And handle your sin God's way, not Satan's way. Don't go into self-preservation. Worship team. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so very much for your truth today. And Lord, I pray that as we consider this visual, a garbage can with a tarp over it, representing all our stinky sin. And Father, that we would recognize the blood of Jesus covering that sin. And may we, Father, with open ears and open hearts, hear you say, our judge, not guilty. And here you say, our Father, I've adopted you. You're mine. You belong to me. And may we live there in confidence. And when fear hits, when we want to peek under the tarp, Father, remind us it is finished. Help us now to live in confidence of our salvation, that we have boldness in our obedience. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together and sing. I want you to respond to God in some way today. Maybe it's just inside yourself. God, help me to live this truth today, tomorrow, forever. Maybe it's I need some prayer. And if so, you can come down here. We'll pray together. There'll be some folks in the back. Some of our elders, Christy will be back there if you want to visit. Have prayer covering there. God is good all the time. Oh, let's sing.